Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
That's right, Owlpost for the week is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and I am excited, as always, to welcome to you, and with you, and for you, the wonderful and incredible Drea Kaufman.
Hello! I'm exhausted.
Hello. So. Yeah, me too. It's been a day.
It has.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yours are probably like baby issues. Mine was just work.
Yeah.
So.
I sort of wish it was work, though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
But you know what? At least your daughter's going to grow up and probably be this amazing person, and you'll look back on this and you'll be like, ah, it was so worth it. Look how amazing she is.
I hope so.
Me, my job, I'll just be like, no.
Ah, look at my job, not all grown up and still my job.
Pretty much. So, but you know what's super exciting in this day? Is that we have two new reviews for our iTunes contest. Isn't that awesome?
It's exciting.
Like, super exciting. So we had one new review from Kid at Heart 33, and they said, "Perfect even for a muggle, 5 stars. I've never read the books, but I absolutely love this podcast and hearing every little detail about the series that you don't get from the movies. Hearing the insight of the two hosts is spectacular. Can't wait to hear the rest of the amazing tale through their eyes." Which, you know, I think is really cool because, you know, people get on us for being like, oh, everybody's read the books. But, like, you know, not everybody's read the books. Some people have only read the movies, which means there's still so much for people to learn. So
it's amazing
thank you
if
so
someone
much,
can
Kid
read
at Heart.
A movie, because I think you mean watch a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. But hey, you know what?
I'm sorry. That's just the day we've had.
Yes, exactly. You know, we might watch a book and read a movie tonight. So
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Well, if you're got subtitles, you're doing both, right?
Oh, that's true. I do watch with subtitles. So I am
reading
my movie.
See, there you go. Oh, you're one of those people?
Well, now I have a kid. I am that person because you have to turn the volume all the way down.
You can't have it up so loud.
Yeah, now at least I can read what's going on if I can't hear it. Yeah.
Yep, that makes complete sense.
I am one of those people, though.
Well, Joe the bio teacher said, "Gets back to the magic, 5 stars. I've always loved Harry Potter, but have only recently found friends who shared this deep love. This podcast allows you to relive the magic all over again with people who love Hogwarts as much as you do. Matt and Drea," which, they spelled your name. Like, you're so ghetto and awesome.
I know, it's super spelling of my name. I love it.
I know, you should do it all the time. Do an excellent job of going chapter by chapter and discussing what makes the series so great, one detail at a time. Definitely worth a listen for all Harry Potter fans. And we really appreciate this, guys. It means so much to us that you're doing this. And we're honestly kind of excited to give away, you know, with our giveaway. So just keep the reviews coming. And, you know, who knows? You know, we could just keep up the love. And every 10 reviews, we'll give away another book.
Yeah.
So you never know.
We're at
5.
Seven.
So or maybe, you know, maybe too, like, if you've got the book, maybe there's a Harry Potter movie or something you don't have. So we'll figure it out.
How many reviews are we at now? What number was that? I've lost track.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think
five or six.
I think from where we started, that it's okay, 6.
6 of 10, guys, we're almost there.
Yeah, which is amazing. So really appreciate that. And you know, if you want to, hit us up on iTunes and Apple Podcasts with a star rating review, and you could be entered to win a copy of Harry Potter, A History of Magic, which is going to be so cool. It's actually a journey through the history of magic. Forgive me. But you'll really appreciate getting the opportunity to have that 1 in 10 shot of winning. You can also find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party or on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdparty. You can find us on thenerdparty.com, where if you go over there to thenerdparty.com, you can also go to the contact section and choose Owlpost, and you can send Drea and I an email. Hit us up in all those places. Like us, follow us, let us know what you're thinking. And we'd love that. So this chapter 6, it's a little bit short, but it's a lot of fun. The port key Drea. And one of the my favorite things has to be when Harry gets downstairs. And Mr. Weasley seems to have some challenged fashion sense.
Yeah. Yeah. He just...
I wish this had been in the movie because...
I know, me too.
It's funny.
It really is. And you just feel, because you... I don't know. It just makes that character of Arthur Weasley that much more lovable because he's really trying. He's trying so hard. And he's like, is this right? And you just don't want to tell him no because you just don't want to break his little heart because he thinks he's done so good.
What I think is so great about it is... And this is something that, again, you don't really get from the movies, but that the wizarding world is different. You know, that people tend to wear wizard clothes, which aren't quite the same as muggle clothes. They might have some similarities, but it is kind of unfortunate because I feel like the movies have given us the thought that they just wear suits, basically, with a, you know, a robe over it. But you get the feeling like it's even more different than that. Like that, you know, wizarding robes, it feels a lot more of a whole other time and a whole other place.
Yeah.
And I feel like they just don't do quite as good a job in the movies as they could of making you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a moment where you realize
it's different.
They're just not as familiar with muggle clothes.
Yeah.
Like, because it's not that's not a thing.
That was
to
a
them.
Big complaint when they switched directors and at the third movie when we switched Dumbledore's and mm-hmm. we switched directors that he made it too modern, that the wizards should look different and they should, and especially the students when they're at school, they shouldn't be in like common street clothes because
right.
that's just not what they do. In the books and stuff. So yeah, that is a common criticism of the movies in general. And this is just a good reminder of that, like of why that's a thing, right? Why people are complaining about that is because here it's pointed out they don't even know how to wear muggle clothing, let alone wear them on a regular basis. So
in the books, it's always interesting too, because you get the feeling like the kids kind of wear normal clothes and then... As they get older, like, they transition into the more classical wizard fare. And, you know, because they're wearing, like, jumpers and, you know, or, excuse me, like, sweatshirts and
and
stuff like that. They wear jeans, it seems like, and that, you know, trainers and all that stuff. But it does seem like there's kind of, like... an adulting that happens as you know,
I always think of it like a generational thing. Like now, you know, you have some adults that just don't, who dress like they've always dressed from like, you know, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And you have, you know, kids who dress way more modernly, like hipster. And like, there's, you know, all kinds of language for how kids dress. And, you know, I just think it's kind of similar to that, that maybe kids in the wizarding world are more attuned to like the muggle kind of style of clothing. And you've got wizards who are more old-fashioned. And, you know, especially if they never interact with the muggle world for any reason. You know, like Harry and Hermione obviously come from this world, so they're used to
right.
that. Whereas, you know, like the Weasleys could go their entire life and never know or see a muggle environment. So,
yep.
you know, I think it's just a matter of upbringing. The same thing you talk about where you grew up internationally or culturally, you've got your own style. So it's almost like it's a cultural thing for them. They wear robes and tunics and things like that is how I kind of always thought.
Yeah.
Almost like in the movies when you look at Kingsley Shacklebot, how he's got like an African robe.
Yeah.
I always thought about that without those African accoutrements as kind of what most adult wizards would wear. Like a big long tunic, kind of in their style of wherever region they grew mm-hmm. up in, and kind of like some linen type long pants. Like that's kind of what I always thought of as muggle attire with a wand pocket and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
you know, that's kind of what I thought. But it's again, I think it's just cultural and maybe age. But it is really mm-hmm. cute to see Mr. Weasley here in the pants that are too big. And oh, it's just so adorable. You just love him.
Well, and I love it, too, because, you know, Harry doesn't have the heart to tell him, no, that's not quite it, you know, because he's just so excited about it. And so, yeah, I just think it's a great way to start the chapter. And... Then I thought was really interesting is to kind of learn something new And she really dives into this whole idea of apparition and what that means and how it works and how difficult it can be and what can go wrong from it, which sounds just terrifying.
Well, and it becomes really important as we continue on in the story, too. We get information about, you know, what you can and can't do at Hogwarts and, you know, how to do these things. And this is kind of the only time it's introduced, and they don't ever talk about it in the movie, really, that it's difficult to do, too. That apparating right. isn't just sort of you get your driver's license and you go. It's like a difficult thing to accomplish. And if you don't do it right, you can hurt yourself versus just driving a car. If you don't have a license, you can like crash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's different. It's a little different than getting your driver's license, where sort of I don't know how it is everywhere, but at least here in Arizona, it's sort of like a privilege. It's sort of like a right. Like you get it because you can drive, and everyone here has a driver's license. Where I know in a lot of places, it's more of like it's difficult to get. It's a privilege. Not everyone has the opportunity. I sort of feel like it's more like that with your apparating permissions. You know, and you have to be good at it. Here, they don't care. Can you operate the vehicle? Are you breathing? Okay, good. Here you go.
Well, and I really like the way that we get a chance to learn about this and talk about how difficult, and, you know, being splinched, you know, leaving part of yourself behind, and how, like, it sounds awful. But it is, you know, it also seems like one of those things where it's difficult to do, and the more practice you have at it, the better you can get at it. And what it really does is it kind of talks about this whole idea, too, of like how muggles travel and how they get places and what they have to do when they have, you know, large numbers of people getting together. And I thought that was really interesting, too, because, again, this is one of those things where she's really making her world a lot bigger than it's been. And, you know, the world is coming together to watch this, the wizarding world, and they have to figure out these different ways to get people there to do this. And so I think that was really interesting to learn about all the different, you know, things in place to keep the muggle world from realizing that something big is going down that they don't know anything about.
I know. I thought that was, it's so much more played up in this one than it is in the movie, they just kind of go and you just assume all that this has been taken care of. But, you know, it's really this like big deal. And it's interesting because it makes sense. And you kind of see where Mr. Weasley would play a part in that. Since his whole thing is, you know, muggle studies, he would be able to play kind of a part in what they would look for, what they would look at, how to hide it. So I thought that was all really interesting, too. And now it kind of makes sense why he got tickets, because he actually did something, versus in the movie he just kind of gets the tickets and you don't know how or where they came from, really. So I thought it was really good.
Well, and we have the continued story of the twins getting their pockets confiscated, basically the contents of their pockets confiscated, of all of their you know, Weasley's wizard wheezes, because their mother finds them in their pocket and she is just not happy still about this. So I think everybody is pretty happy to leave the Weasley household this evening.
Well, and they're not happy that she takes them. They're so mad. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's great. Well, and the one thing that, on top of kind of the whole idea of bringing all this together, you know, it was interesting thinking about, because, you know, we've seen wizarding places before, like Diagon Alley and those kind of things, but that you have to have a place big enough to hold an event like this. And you think, you know, take the Super Bowl and its final game, you know, that final game of the season, and all the people that flock to that, you know, and you've got people from all the world coming. So how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this is where it comes in. This idea that they're going to pick up, you know, a port key, which is just a everyday element. It's just something you could find. It could be anything. Hopefully something that, you know, muggles won't want to pick up and use. And it has basically a one-way ticket transport to wherever it is you want to go. And I think, I don't know, to me, that's really kind of a, like, that's something, it's just so off the wall and creative. Like, that's what I love about this book. There's a lot of really just quirky, creative things in here. Like, oh, let's get everybody around a boot and it'll transport them, you know, it's because it's been, you know, magicked. I don't know. To me, that's, it's just really fun. Like, this, there's so much fun at the beginning of this book.
It is. It's all the elements she uses are really creative and not things that I can think of come from anywhere else. And I like the idea that she even picks, it's something that, you know, humans would never think to pick up. It's litter. And you, and it makes you stop and think about, like, yeah, I just leave trash on the road. Like, I drive by something, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to pick that up. And now I'm like, oh, that could be a port key. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I mean, I still won't pick up the trash, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And it creates a sense of whimsy, which there's so much of that in the Harry Potter series. I think it's just kind of a joy. And, you know, before they get to the port key, they end up running into the Diggories. And, you know, it's one of those places to where you really, you feel sorry for Harry, you know, because he keeps running into people. And of course, he's famous. But, you know, the normal people that he hangs out with don't really care anymore. It's just, he's just Harry to them. And Mr. Diggory seems to be somebody who's slightly ambivalent to the way that people take the things that he's saying. He doesn't seem to realize the way he comes off. And I love the way that Cedric is just trying to make up for his dad. And he's like, no, Dad, he fell off his broom. That's why he beat me at Quidditch. And he's like, well, you didn't fall off your, you know, it's just like, it's, he feels so embarrassed by his dad here and the way he's treating Harry. But it also is kind of this moment where it's like, Cedric really kind of endears you to him.
Yeah.
In this book.
Although I can't,
even from the beginning moment here,
I can't read Cedric without seeing Robert Pattinson, though. Like, I really,
it's true.
I really can't, it's unfortunately. True. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing yet, but I can't not see him having this conversation. And I do wish so much more of this had ended up in the movie, because it would have been great. And I think he could have totally pulled it off. But yeah, his dad is so, I don't know, he's that parent where, like, you want to be embarrassed, but then there's almost a part of Harry you feel like is a little relieved that he's not, like, fawning over him, you know? Because Harry really hates that he's more fawning mm-hmm. over his own son. Almost, you almost feel like, you know what, I don't, keep going on, it's fine. You know, it's embarrassing for Cedric, but at least Harry's not having to deal with, like, someone fawning over his mm-hmm. fame, you know? So I thought that was really, sweet, so... and I also think it's really interesting. We kind of skipped over it, but the idea of the arrivals of the wizards happen over several weeks. That the worse the tickets you have are, the earlier you have to show
yes.
up. And here's where we sort of get introduced to a family we haven't met yet that will play a part, I believe, in this book. Maybe not this one, but the next one. It's the next one. Is the Lovegoods. They're just sort of dropped in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lovegoods have been there for a week already. And we're not going to meet them until the next book. So I thought that was interesting that she's already sort of laying that groundwork for that character right here at the beginning of a whole book before she shows up. So I thought that was really neat.
That was something that I forgot. And I was thinking to myself, so the worse the tickets you have, the you know, longer you have to be there. You have to show first. And I was thinking, can those people really afford that if they have the worst tickets? Like, it just seemed to me, I was like, how do you take a whole week off? I mean, I guess you have vacation time.
Well,
so this would just have to be vacation time.
It's
you
2 weeks. If you have the worst tickets, you have to show up 2 weeks in advance. And I thought that was extraordinary. You have to be really committed to something like that. And it just made me feel like maybe the wizarding world and employment in the wizarding world just sort of works differently. Maybe that culture values Quidditch, and you know, if the employee has that
yeah.
opportunity, then go, by all means go, you know. I feel like it's maybe more like that and a little less capitalistic than we have here in the United States, where, you know, do or die.
That,
so
you know, it's kind of the way the rest of the world treats soccer, right? I mean, the way the rest of the world treats, we'll call it football, because that's what it's called. So That's how, you know, I mean, if you go to, you know, I've been to, South America and to Mexico, and like for them, that, you know, that's a big deal. You know, anywhere in Europe, you go to Britain, I mean, football is huge. You know, people would definitely spend, you know, 2 weeks if they had to watch, you know, the biggest match of the year. So it's just not that abnormal. And as a nerd, let me say, I spent 10 hours in line to watch, you know, Revenge of the Sith with some friends of mine at a midnight showing. So, and people would literally camp outside theaters back in the day so they could get tickets, so they could be the first in line. So, you know, people did that for like weeks on end. So it's really not that weird to think that this could actually happen. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and this is written in the early 2000s. So yeah, before there you a lot go. Of Absolutely. The stuff we have nowadays, you know, the conveniences weren't available. And I think not only was this written in the early 2000s, it was supposed to be set even earlier than that. Not terribly earlier than that, but a little bit earlier than that. So, I mean, 2018 was was an anniversary for the prologue, or 2017 was the anniversary for the prologue of the entire series. So, I mean, it was set a little while ago. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I, you know, have done my fair share of crazy nerdy stuff. We did, when they had the first Avengers come out, we watched all of the movies that were out until then, including the Avengers for the release. So we were in the theater for like 30 hours straight or something like that. Geez. It was painful. I won't do that again. But
yeah, I was thinking about, there's like, I think they're doing one for the
Infinity War.
Yeah, but they're not showing every single movie because you can't do that. Like you,
I think they are, but I think it's 3 days long movies or something like that. It's taking several days leading up to it, but it's like set hours. It's like 8 to 5 for 3 days long or something crazy like that. But yeah, I mean, it was a long day. I had a good time, and it's a memorable experience. But we snuck food in because I wasn't eating popcorn for an entire day.
Ugh,
and this was back before theater served anything else besides popcorn and nachos.
That's true.
So we snuck like Chipotle in and stuff like that. But I mean, it was a good time, but it was still like a long day. And we, you know, people do crazy stuff for the things they care about. So waiting 2 weeks to see some spectacular event, I mean, I'm sure is life-changing for some of these people. So,
You know, and we end the chapter with them transporting and landing there with the announcement, you know, that the 7 past 5 from Stotshead Hill has arrived. So that's really fun. And I'm just, again, to me, this is a chapter that I think is really kind of joyful and just full of whimsy and full of fun little tidbits about the Wizarding World, which I really enjoy. It's one of the highlights of this book, I think, is just how much she is adding to the Wizarding World. And like when I think about it, like she's already added so many little things, and we're only a few chapters in. So, and this is a long book. So buckle up, folks, and grab onto the portkey. And well, Drea, if anybody wants to find you onto that little portkey known as Twitter or social media, where can they find you?
You can come find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's COFFMAN. Or sometimes talking with Matt online, you know, because that's our life.
It is our life. You can find me on Twitter as well, on MattRushing02, and then I'm on Instagram on the same name. You can find me here in the network with John Mills as we talk about Star Wars through aggressive negotiations. It is just a blast. I really do hope you'll check out that show. It's just so much fun. You could find me on the Trek FM network as I'm talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine with Chris Jones on The Orb. And I do our general geek show, which is called the 602 Club, which Dre has been on for the last couple weeks, being talk about some really fun things. In fact, we just talked about the new Tomb Raider, so check that out. I think you'll really enjoy it. Dre and I had a really fun conversation about that. And then you can find me on Cinema Stories, where I talk with my friend Courtney about films through the lens of faith. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.